reading from Jiva Dharma, chapter 15, Pramaya, Jiva Tattva. Prajanath, a burning fire, the sun, sparks, and atomic particles of sunshine, these are all material objects. Why is comparison being made with these material objects in the discussion of chit tattva? Omayana timarandasya kananjana shalakaya taksur unmulitam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manobhistam tapitam yena bhutale Sayambhu Pukadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Pancha Kalpa Karubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Stuyvesant Falls. We just finished another very wonderful bhakti immersion. And it's a science. It's a science. If you focus on God, then the attraction for God, which is your nature, your love, will come out. That's the goal. That's called priyojana. What is priyojana, or the goal? Well, there's sambandha, which is basically a description of reality, which is Krishna and Krishna's energy. There's abhideya, there's the means to realize that, which is bhakti. And then there's priyojana, the goal is the result of doing so. And the result of realizing God is to actually feel God and feel our relationship with God. And that's called love. So I see how the bhakti immersion actually, it's just amazing. You create an atmosphere where people are engaged, absorbed. It's actually our duty. Prabhupada said that duty of the teacher, the guru, spiritual master, to find the ways and means to engage the students in devotional service. Because when you do that, it's just like a young child. When the young child sees the mother, because there's a natural relationship, that love comes out. So we had an objective that people who are, because it's so, you know, it used to be that you would set such a high demand for coming in association with devotees. It's like, you know, you come in the association of devotees and you'd be confronted with a conversion experience. And basically, it worked in one way. You need to get pure devotees or people are absolutely crazy to step over that line. So it's very fluid. So many people are coming, but they need to go deeper. Everyone needs to test their spiritual evolution, otherwise they can't make decisions about their life. And if you don't give people opportunities to experience that by some, because that's the way realization comes. I mentioned this in the Yoga Sutra, that it describes that, you know, how do you advance, you know, how do you control the mind? Well, it says by practice and detachment. So what is practice? Practice means concentration. What does concentration mean? It means to focus on an object without stop for a prolonged period of time in the right mood. And when you do that, you get some realization. And in bhakti, the realization is the sublimity of service to God. You know, that's what you get in disciplic succession. Brahmanda Brahmate, Konya Bhagavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai Bhakti. You're wandering from universe to universe, Bhishad to by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, you get the Bhakti Lata Beach. And what's the Bhakti Lata Beach? It's the seed of prema. It's the beginning of that energy of realizing God. The full manifestation of that energy is prema, but it begins with shraddha. It begins with faith, some type of experience. So it's so rewarding. And at the same time, you get the experience too. So it's so rewarding to see these people get the experience. And it's just it's overwhelming for people because they've never, that's their faith. They've never experienced such sublimity as an absorption in God. And then they have that faith that that is the goal of life, that to experience that sublimity. And there's something about happiness or sublimity that is not just selfish, it's a symptom of actually being situated properly. It's not that you go for sublimity, but it's the symptom of it's basically how it's like good health. It's, you know, it's a symptom of something. It's a symptom. So the symptom of spiritual health, the symptom of existential health is actually, you know, this feeling of sublimity. And so it was a very rewarding weekend. And then I usually get a day off afterwards because it's so intense for me. But instead, I drove down myself all the way to New Jersey. Because the next day, there was a fight. There was a wedding that I was invited to, but it happened to be the same day as the Bhakti immersion. And it was, her name is Sneha, now Shyam Kumari. And she lived in the Tuaco Temple at our heyday of when I was there. I forgot how, it seems she wasn't even there with her parents. She was staying with someone else, or her parents were working or something. A special girl, and she invited me down, so I went. And now today we came back. Now continuing our drops of water, wear away the stone study. We've actually now gone to the 13th chapter. And I have a little audience today, so I also speak to them. Incredible story, the story of people coming to Krishna consciousness after the generation of Lord Chaitanya. And what happens is according to who they are, they need a particular truth to move forward in their spiritual life. If you're a materialist, you need to know you're not the body. If you're an impersonalist, you don't need the touch of, if you're not the body, you need the touch of that soul is different than God. And if you're a caste Brahmin, you need to know the tattva of, you know, Nitya Dharma, the eternal Dharma is really the soul, not your body. So many things. So you learn all the tattvas. And now we've been following a particular incredible story of one logician who comes to Krishna consciousness. Just kind of, he was a logician. So he heard about Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya already passed away. It's the previous generation. He becomes attracted to Lord Chaitanya. And he gets initiated, and now he's associated. He's still living at home, if he's associating with the great Babaji's that live in the in Navadvip. And now he's visited like Srinivasangam, and you know the Babaji's from Gotrumdweep are visiting the, you know, the Babaji's from Srinivasangam. And his interest now is he wants to learn Dashamula. I'm not sure the origin of it, but at least it appears that, you know, it's around the time of Lord Chaitanya that they categorize the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in 10 subjects called Dashamula. And I believe 8 of the subjects are on Sambandhigyan, metaphysics of Krishna consciousness, which includes epistemology, pramana, means of knowing. And one is on Abhideya Tattva, you know, the process of knowing. And one is on Priyojana, the goal of life, love of Godhead. So here, in Sambandhigyan, or this general category, there's Prameya and Pramana. Prameya is the Pramana is the means of knowing, and Prameya is what is to be known. So they just explained one of the Dashamulas on Shakti Tattva. Now what you'll find here is a very, very, it's the most intricate compilation of Tattva. It's amazing. And I think a lot of it too is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's like realizations. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if you study him, you know, different pure devotees have different natures. It's described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that is spiritual psychology. It's like different shapes of metal. They can become fire, but they maintain their initial shape. So there's different spiritual psychologies. And as people become pure, it's not that they merge into one, you know, grave, sober sadhu, or one near advanced, everybody becomes a giggling sadhu. But there are giggling sadhus and there are grave sadhus, and they're equally pure. It's just different spiritual psychology. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is an incredible, piercing intellectual, among other things. He really thinks deeply about all subjects. And he wants that the philosophy of Krishna consciousness becomes as logical as possible. And he does it through these people who come to Krishna consciousness. Now, this is Rajanath, and he's going to be one of the main people in the dialogue. So now he's inquired about Jiva Tattva. And, you know, he begins by who I am and why I've come to this world. And Babaji Maharaj said, this is an auspicious day. Because this is where spiritual life begins. It begins with inquiry. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now that I've come to the human form of life, it's time to inquire. And we see there's just some people that just don't inquire. That's why a little suffering is good. Because without that, there's generally no inquiry. Inquiry comes to suffering. And I've had this experience in Krishna consciousness of people who even I've met and I've become close to, but they're kind of like the father knows best families. This is beyond your generation. Leave it to Beaver. You know, they used to have situation comedies where there was like these intact families, you know, with the moral father and the loving mother, you know. I know it seems like, but it was called Father Knows Best, you know. It was, you know, just those beautiful dry Protestant families where, you know, the father was wise and the mother was loving. And sometimes, occasionally I meet people like that. And they're even like Christians. They even like, you know, went to church. And they, you know, they good schools and, you know. And they become very attracted to me and everything. But they'll never even figure out to become a vegetarian. Why should they change? You know, their world works. And that's really horrible. Because it works, but it doesn't work. You know, their world is sufficiently conformed to their desires that they don't want to, that they don't go for real happiness. Where when the world is not conformed to your desires, you tend to, you know, everyone's searching happiness. So when you can't find it in destiny, how the world moves around you, then you try to find it in free will, how you respond. And free will is under your control and destiny is not. And real happiness is in the platform of free will, not in the platform of destiny. Because destiny doesn't really mean your consciousness has changed. Free will means your consciousness has changed. So he's very happy that he asked this question. And then he gives the Dashamula number 5, which explains about Jiva Tattva. I'm not going to read that again. It explains Jiva Tattva, and then he explains the different, Vrajanath has heard different doctrines of Mayavadi in relationship to the Jiva. You know, is the Jiva just a manifestation of illusion? You know, and you know, see, he asked all these things, you know, because, and it all gets cleared, and, you know, we've been, I don't know, just explaining different aspects of Jiva Tattva. And, and it was really, last discussion was very interesting, was, how can an eternal entity possibly be created, manifest, or produced? So it explained that about the Jiva. And he's explaining it. It's both, you know, comes from somewhere, and at the same time it's eternal. And Bhakti Vinod elaborates on a brilliant point. And the point was very well expressed by one of the students of mine in the Nectar of Devotion class, who's the vice president of one of the transit units. He's a subway driver for so many years. And he's a Sikh Vaishnav. He's both initiated Gaudiya Vaishnav and a Sikh. He always wears a turban. And he's kind of learned it in his own way. I really like him a lot. Satyahari, or Sathari. And, you know, he explained in Bhaktivinoda Thakur is that words are pregnant with history. So when you try to translate a Sanskrit word into English, it may carry a history that doesn't conform perfectly to the Sanskrit meaning. And what Bhaktivinoda Thakur said is, words, you know, when you're trying to explain, you know, the spiritual realm, which is eternal, which has no past, present, and future, you know, all our words are bound, are influenced by material time. So it's a very, very deficient language to perfectly describe. And what he does is a very interesting thing. He says, you try to, you know, you really don't ask too many questions. You have to realize these things by your spiritual practice. People waste too much time. I mean, we should be inquisitive and ask questions. But there are certain things that logically are really beyond our understanding. And the explanations can just point us in a particular direction where we can get that realization. Yeah. Just like Prabhupada's godbrother, Srila Bhakti Rakshaka Sridhar Maharaj said that there are three tattvas that are very difficult to understand. Guru tattva, Dham tattva, and Shiva tattva. Of course, it's transcendence and the world, you know, the spiritual world, Vrindavan. You know, what? What are you talking about? Between Agra and Dirty, you know. And then Guru tattva. You know, an ordinary person, but somehow something divine coming through. And Shiva tattva, which is, you know, I just had this thing where I do a Skype call to Kiev, and there are these people that are, you know, they're professional musicians. And kind of ones who are like attracted to Lord Shiva, you know. And so, you know, I just went to an Advaita party. Advaita is Sada Shiva. But they say it's all wrong when you say that Shiva is a demigod. And I read in Prabhupada's book that they say Shiva is a demigod. Now, you know, and I just explained to them, to say that Shiva is a demigod and to say that Shiva is God, they're both, you know, they're both wrong. You know, it's like, it's something else. He's God, but not God. So you can say he's God and it's right. You can say he's not God and it's right. And you can say either one. You know, it's just, you know, because Shiva is both. You know, he's God, but transformed. You know, milk into yogurt. Give you a little example there of something that's the same and different. So he goes into a whole explanation, and it's so beautiful. In other words, all the transcendental moves will manifest themselves in the core of your purified heart. Your body is material, and all the activities of your body are also material, but the essence of your being is not material. You are an atomic conscious entity. The more you know yourself, the more you'll be able to realize how your sarup is a tattva superior to the world of maya. Even if I tell you, will not realize it, or simply be hearing, by hearing, you will not attain it. Cultivate the practice of chanting Harinam as much as possible. As you go on in chanting Harinam, these transcendental bhavas will begin to manifest in your heart automatically. And to the degree that they do, you will be able to realize the transcendental world. Mind and speech both have their origin in matter, and they cannot touch the transcendental truth, even with the greatest endeavor. It's a very interesting kind of concept. I advise you not to inquire about this matter from anyone, but to realize it yourself. I've just given you an avas, an indication. So it's just like, you know, they talk about Prabhupada's sarup, you know, and all these things. It's a useless conversation. People don't have the frame of reference to even understand what that may mean. You know, they don't, you know, and to argue over it and, you know, okay, you know, we shouldn't be lazy. We should try to realize Siddhanta, et cetera. But, and I appreciate people trying to clarify things, yes, but I think there's limits to everything. Or the limits set some things. And what we have to be very, very careful is that everything in this world is so ego-based. And therefore, a lot of times our discussions get ego-based. And Vaishnavas are generally not into argument because they're not ego-based. They're not into trying to control the world by defeating people. They're not interested in controlling the world. They're only interested in serving the world, serving God. You have to be a little bit careful about that, getting too absorbed in what was one argument that someone came to me. One person was arguing that the cow is more important than the humans and human civilization. And the other person is arguing that the humans are more important than the cows. And they were like talking past each other. Somebody asked me, well, what do you think? I said, well, they're talking past each other. You know, cows are the most important in human civilization. You can't have human civilization without humans. So, I mean, so how do you, you know what I'm saying? To argue about it. You know what I'm saying? Can you please help? Well, this, I say this, they say this. What do you think? I said, I'm not interested. I want to chant Hare Krishna. I don't want to get into that kind of, first of all, you have to just separate what is the discussion about, what is it, you know. What's the use? Now, of course, there's value in tattva. We shouldn't be lazy about trying to understand tattva. It's important. And that's what this book is about. So I don't want to contradict the very book. The very book is about understanding tattva. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur's point here is there's certain limits. There's certain things that have to be realized. Otherwise, you really can't discuss them. So now, he's giving this, Vrajanath, he's so inquisitive. A burning fire, the sun, sparks, and the atomic particles of sunshine, these are all material objects. Why has a comparison been made with these material objects in the discussion of chit-tattva? They said, okay, you know, words. Now you used all these words to describe chit-tattva. So Babaji says, as I've already said, inevitably there are material defects in any material statements we make about chit-tattva. What alternative do we have? We are obliged to use these examples because we are helpless without them. In other words, there's a certain parameter of truth that you can understand, but you can't focus it without realization. That's what I would say. So like probably language is the perspective and realization is the focus. And so you need a certain perspective, otherwise you can't see the object. You write that one down. That's good. That's Bartlett's quotations. What is that? Knowledge is the perspective. Right? And realization is the focus. So to really have that fine understanding, it takes a certain... It's just, you know, you'll miss it with the intellect. Consciousness has to be purified. So, that's so interesting. So he explains, therefore, those who know tattva try to explain chit vastu by comparing it to a fire or the sun. He said, we're helpless without it. So those who know the subject try to give you perspective by analogies. In reality, Krishna is far superior to the sun, so we already have a problem with the analogy. Because Krishna has an inconceivable potency and the sun doesn't. Krishna's effulgence is far superior to the radiance of the sun, and Krishna's rays and the atoms in them, that is the jiva shakti and the jivas, are far superior to the rays of the sun and the atomic particles in the rays. Still, these examples have been used because there are many similarities within them. Dadu, the old mailman in Vrindavan. Have you ever met him? He was one of the great Vaishnav icons. And he was a devotee. He joined. He was old man. He was the mailman. And you know, he was from Calcutta. So, you know, he knew Milton and Paradise Lost and Shakespeare and Charlie Chaplin, and, you know, he knew so many things. So he said, you know, and his guru told him he should always hear Hare Katha, so he would never miss my class. even in the winter, and he never wore shoes. And one day he had asked my permission, you know, can I please not come, you know, for a day or two. And he used to love to eat. He was into succuras. He used to love to eat. Yeah, he was friends with Borijan and myself, and even go visit Swami, and they're really close with Dada. But in my class one day, he said, you have to be very careful about analogies. He said, just like if I see a girl and I say your face is like the moon, am I making fun of her that she has a big spherical, you know, shape? Or it's bright. You know, analogies are meant to compare one thing to another. Not, you know, it was a very, I always remember that. Krishna's examples can explain some of the spiritual qualities, but not all. The beauty of the sun's light and the ability of its rays to illuminate other objects are both qualities that compare with the chitattva. Chitattva is the spiritual energy. For it is the quality of spirit to reveal its own beauty and to illuminate others. That's a big part of the analogy. However, the scorching heat and the sun rays has no counterpart in the chitvastu, nor does the fact that the rays are material. Again, if we say milk is like water, we're only considering the liquid quality of the water in the comparison. Otherwise, if all the qualities of water were present in the milk, why would water not become milk? Examples can explain certain specific qualities of an object, but not all of its qualities and traits. So Vrajanath is hearing this from this great Babaji Maharaj, and he says, the spiritual rays of the transcendental Krishna sun and the spiritual atoms within those rays are non-different from the sun, yet at the same time they are eternally different from it. How can these facts be true simultaneously? The rays of Krishna's sun and the spiritual atoms, so you know, the sun rays are non-different than the sun, right? So therefore the jivas must be non-different from Krishna, but yet they are different. So are they different or non-different? Babaji, see how Bhaktivinoda Thakur is so smart. In the material world, when one object is produced from another, either the product is completely different from its source or remains a part of it. That is the nature of material objects. For example, an egg becomes separated from the mother bird once it is laid, whereas a person's nails and hair remain part of the body until they are cut, even though they are produced from his body. So if one object comes from another, in the material world, either it remains part of it or it's separate. So how can the jivas be separate and not separate? Especially that doesn't work in New York. I always tell the story when I kind of came back to America after 20 years and I lost my license. I had to get this car. Someone donated a car to me, an Indian, and it was the all-time lemon. This car broke down so many times, it was inconceivable. And it was also, I had no way to get around. And it was also a stick shift, and I never drove a stick shift. So I was, you know, so I, you know, off I went. And then I made a wrong turn. I was going someplace in Manhattan. I wound over the Queensboro Bridge. So I went to the, you know, the person is the toll collector, and I said, excuse me, sir, I wanted to ask him what I do. I think I'm lost. And this New York toll collector looks at me with such disgust and says, you're either lost or you're not lost. So it's very hard for that kind of mind to understand, you know, Om Purnamada. The personality got it perfect, including even so many units, you know, they're made to complete balance, you know, what? So it's either one or another. Either the party, it either remains party or it remains separate. What is this simultaneously one and different? So that's what he's saying here. So he said, whatever is, however, the nature of Chitvastu is different, somewhat. Whatever is manifest from the spiritual sun is simultaneously one with it and different from it. The rays of the sun and the atomic particles in the rays are not separated from the sun, even if they have emanated from it. Similarly, the rays of Krishna's Sarup and the atoms in those rays, that is, the Jiva Shakti and the Jivas, are not separate from him, even though they are produced from him. At the same time, although the Jivas are not different from Krishna, they are also eternally different and separate from him because they have their own minute particle of independent desire. Therefore, the Jiva's difference and non-difference from Krishna is the eternal truth. This is a special feature of the Chit realm. The sages give a partial example from our experience of inert matter. Suppose you cut a small piece of gold from a large piece and use it to make a bangle. From the perspective of the gold, the bangle is not different from the original piece of gold. They are not different. However, from the perspective of the bangle, the two are different from another. This example is not a complete representation of the Chit-tattva, but it illustrates an important aspect. From the point of view of Chit-tattva, there is no difference between Ishvara and Jiva. Whereas from the perspective of state and quantity, the two are eternally different. Ishvara is complete Chit, where the Jiva is atomic Chit. Ishvara is great, where the Jiva is insignificant. Some people give the example of the Gata Akasha and the Mahakasha, the sky in the pot and the unlimited sky in the street of God. But this example is completely inconsistent with regard to Chit Tattva. Now, Rajanath, if transcendental entities and material objects belong to completely different categories, how can material objects be used as appropriate examples for understanding transcendental entities? Babaji, there are different categories of material objects, and the pandits of the Nyaya school consider them eternal. However, there is no categorical difference between the Chit, transcendental, and Jada material. I've already said that the Chit is the only reality, and Jada is simply its transformation, Vikara. The Vikara is different from the original source, but it's still similar to the pure original object in many respects. For example, ice is a transformation of water. It becomes different from water through this transformation, but the two remain similar in many of their qualities, such as coldness. Hot and cold water do not both have the quality of coldness, but the quality of fluidity is the same. Therefore, the transcendental object certainly retains some similarity to the pure object. The transformed object remains some similarity to the pure object. So, ice comes from water. It doesn't have liquidity, but it's the same. Ice is the same as water, but it's different. So it's giving some example of that. Somehow or other, a transformed object retains some similarities to the pure object. According to this principle, the transcendental Chit world can be understood to some extent with the help of material examples. Again, by adopting the logic of Arundhati Darshan, one can use material objects to understand something about their spiritual nature. What is this Arundhati logic? Arundhati is a small star, which is situated close to the Vishishta star in the Saptarishi constellation, the Great Bear. In order to view it, its location is first determined by looking at a bigger star besides it, and if one looks carefully, one can see Arundhati close by it. Similarly, the Madhyamanakari, although taking help from the senses, the language of the material world in describing a spiritual world, realizes and sees the aprakatattva after having applied the Agyan ointment of praying to the eyes of bhakti. So I just think of the analogy is, you know, you're seeing something by reference to something else. But you're not seeing that something by reference to something else. You have to go further. So in the same way, he's saying, by all these examples, you're getting a reference point that actually ultimately realize it. And then you'll realize how they're simultaneously one and different. Just like you realize ice is simultaneously one and different from water. When the transformed object is different, but it retains some of its qualities. Krishna's pastimes are completely spiritual and there's not even the slightest sense of material mood in them. The Vraja Leela described in Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental. When the descriptions are read in assembly, the fruit of hearing them are different according to the respective qualifications of the various listeners. Appreciating the ornamental figures of speech from the mundane perspective, those who absorb the material sense gratification hear it as a story of ordinary hero and heroines. That's a great example. You know, you're hearing Krishna Leela, but some people hear it as mundane. So there's something in it that points to the real something, but there has to be something more besides just hearing it. There has to be something on your own part, some realization, some submission. So it's another good example. You're hearing something, and it allows you to realize it, but just hearing it alone won't enable you to realize it. The Madhyamanakari takes shelter of the Arundhati Darshanaya and experiences the transcendental pastimes, which are similar to mundane description. And when the Uttama Bhaktas hear the description of those pastimes, they become absorbed in the rasa of pure transcendental chitvalas, which is above the mundane qualities. The absolute truth is aprakrita tattva. So how can we educate the jivas about it without taking help with the principles I have just described? Can the conditioned jivas understand the subject that renders the voice dumb and stops the working of the mind? There doesn't appear to be any method of explaining these subjects other than the principle of similarity and the logic of Arundhati Darshan. Material objects can be either different or non-different from each other, so difference and non-difference are not visible in them at one at the same time, but this is not the case with Paramatattva. When we have to accept that Krishna is simultaneously different and non-different from his jiva shakti and from the jiva in it. The Beda-Beda Tattva, simultaneously difference and oneness, is said to be a chinta, inconceivable, because it is beyond the limit of human intellect. Vrajanath, what is the difference between the Ishvara and the jiva? Okay, that's a lot to digest in one class. Are there any questions? Will someone say hello? I love giving brilliant
Hare Krishna.
Classes.
Hare Krishna, Guru
Hare
Maharaj.
Krishna. Who is this?
Vaishnavi.
Vaishnavi, Hare Krishna. Thank you for listening. Great. Good.
Yes.
Wonderful. I guess I'll see you on Monday or Tuesday, whenever I come.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for being on. Not everybody always
yes,
announces
I'm so
themselves.
Glad.
Okay, great. That's nice. Good. Anyone else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Govardhan Bhakta Das.
Govardhan, thank you. Hare Go. Good.
Hare Go.
Anybody else like to say hello today? Okay. Okay, then we'll end for today. I just want to call Patrubius Dr. Pisindu Babich